This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Battle for Malaysia on BFM
89.9. All right, we have on the line P. Gunasegaran. He is an independent business analyst. Gunnar, welcome back to the show. What did you make of Tun Mahathir's announcement?
Okay. I was wondering why Wan Azizah was not visibly seen there. I mean, have I missed her, or was she not there at the announcement?
I didn't see her at the desk either. Yes.
Yeah. So for me, the top five seems to give lesser weight to PKR. PKR has got 47 seats against Bersatu's 13 seats. But Bersatu has two representatives there, which is Mahathir himself plus Mohidin. Whereas you have only one representative from PKR, which is Wan Azizah, and then one from DAP and one from Amanah, which is Kuan Yin and Mat Sabu respectively. Yeah? So I'm wondering, whether there won't be anything in this.
Gunnar, isn't it possible that with the full the announcement of the seven other ministries, that the proportions of in terms of representation might even out by then?
It would, but Dr. M himself said that these are the five key people in the whole thing. So basically, that means that Pribumi actually has got the largest amount of say. I would have thought it might be. Given that PKR has got the most number of seats, that they should have got maybe two at the top five now. Apart from Wan Azizah, who's DPM, they do not have any representation at the cabinet level as that. So I thought that was a bit curious.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. The optics of not having Wan Azizah or any of the senior PKR leaders there was a bit odd.
Yes. And then on top of that, I think it looks like it's not so easy setting out this cabinet because there is obviously disagreement over who the other seven should be. Otherwise, it would have been announced. So it is certainly likely that there is a lot of discussion on that, and perhaps this was what they could agree and announce at this stage.
But Gunnar, wouldn't it be completely reasonable if you look at mature democracies in Europe? They can take a long time. I mean, Angela Merkel took 4 months to form her government. In Italy, they still haven't formed a government. Coalitions are complex things to build. Are we being a little impatient? It's only been
3 days
since the polls and just 24 hours since the announcement of, or at least the swearing in of Tun Dr. Mahathir.
Yeah, but I think I suppose the complication in this case would be Dr. M does not come from the party which has got the most number of seats. So you need to perhaps sort of like find the balance where there is a reflection of power and control with the number of seat representations now. So if that's not done, then it may not look too good. Who basically did the best in the election? They should be given a bit more weight, I suppose. And if in the top five, Pribumi, which has got only 13, have got two people, and PKR has only got one. Then it doesn't look very representative now.
Yes, the game is not over yet, right? I mean, Gunnar, are we belaboring this point? Anwar Ibrahim is the Prime Minister in waiting. When he comes out, he will take over that position. There will be, of course, an issue whether, Anwar can be Prime Minister and Wan Azizah the Deputy Prime Minister. I mean, that it's going to change. This is a period of transition, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I would agree with you now. It is complex, but that is what struck about it. And also, Wan Azizah's absence at the press conference. So whether one can read anything into it. So there was no explanation as to why Wan Azizah wasn't around there.
Can we move on to the question of the Eminent Council, the Council of Eminent People? Were you surprised by that?
I was surprised at such a quick announcement about this because I think this is not the urgent matter at hand. The cabinet is more relevant at this point of time, you know. So I wasn't too sure about that as well. You know? But the figures, the people who are there as it is, I mean, you can't really argue too much with them. No, I think they are okay. And Dr. Ann said that other people will be invited into the council at a later stage. Yeah. So, but I think, I mean, the question, I suppose, in everyone's minds will be who will be the other seven. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, apart from the council of eminent people and the cabinet announcement thus far, I mean, during the PC Q&A session, Dr. Mahathir did make some interesting announcements in that they seem to be moving very quickly with the 1MDB. Mm. He said he instructed the immigration to block Najib Razak and Rosman Mansour's immigration status, and he also said that he's instructed the police to declassify the 1MDB report.
The Auditor General's report on 1MDB, yes. Right. I think those are very welcome measures now. Yes, of course. As far as 1MDB is concerned, I think that the immediate concern is to secure all the documents there, and then have a new CEO in as quickly as possible, and do a forensic audit of the whole thing as quickly as possible. Those are the urgent things that need to be done.
What do you make of Lim Guan Eng's response to the question of him being, you know, the first Chinese finance minister in 43 years, and also his setting out of the priorities of the government of Pakatan Harapan?
That was a bit curious. I think we still cannot run away from race in this country yet. Hopefully, at some point in time, we will. So I think everyone knows that this is the first Chinese finance minister in according to the reporter, 44 years. Huh? So that is a huge change. And even Mahathir later in the press conference said that we have to take into consideration such as race as well when we do these things. You know, but that would be a reflection that. That Mahathir, where possible, is prepared to push the envelope a bit and not limit himself to old molds, so to speak.
The inclusion, Guna, of Jomo Sundaram in the Council of Eminent Persons is interesting, partly because of Jomo's long-standing history of giving oppositional coalitions an economic plan. We saw it in the Barisan Alternative and other subsequent configurations. Now, what do you think he brings to the table in terms of economic thinking and philosophy?
I think he has shown himself to be a pretty independent thinker as far as these things are concerned, and so that brings I think a useful dimension to the council. Now here's somebody who's prepared to speak his mind and to give alternative viewpoints. You know, I suppose since he worked for the opposition, who's now part of the ruling coalition, the new ruling coalition. Then he would also be acceptable to among some of the people he has worked with before.
And what do you make of the return of Daim Sainuddin? Do you think, especially as you just mentioned Jomo, these men perhaps are polar opposites in terms of their thinking on foreign investment and development models? Do you think this? Council of Eminent People will be consensus driven, or do you think it's much more about a conversation? Mahathir talked about papers that they might be offering cabinet in terms of direction.
I think to have diversity in there is very, very good. So then when a paper is presented, then you have a diversity of opinions, you know, and that will force some thinking and some perhaps even some review of some of these papers. So that is pretty good. You know, and the inclusion of Dr. Jati is certainly welcome, because I mean, she has until recently you know, had a finger on the pulse of the economy. So that would be very useful to have as well.
All right, Gunnar. Well, thank you so much for your thoughts, Gunnar. We've been speaking today to P. Gunasegaran, independent business analyst on Tun Dr. Mahathir's recent cabinet announcement.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.